Turn, please, from the Word of God to Malachi chapter 1. I know that last week I said that would be my last sermon on the subject of worship. And then in the Bible study on Wednesday morning, we went through Malachi 1. And I thought, I really want to kind of wrap up the whole series we've done on worship with the message from this chapter. Because it does pull together much of what we've covered, and brings home some points that have been covered, but I think it's good to bring them home again. So it's going to be repetition this morning, but it's for the sake of emphasis and helping us to remember. The bulletin is wrong. If you're using the blue Bible in the pew, it's page 801. Page 801. But Malachi is also the last book in the Old Testament, and probably most of you know where it is. This is the word of the Lord. It is God Himself speaking to us through His servant, the prophet Malachi. Give heed to God. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon the altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift in your hand. Will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were among you one who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. And I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this is the offering you bring. Shall I accept that from your hand? Says the Lord of hosts. Cursed be the cheat who has made a male in his flock, who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Let us pray. O Lord, grant that we may hear these words of your prophet Malachi, that your Holy Spirit will cause them to enter into our understanding in our hearts, and that we will indeed be those who offer to you pure worship, that we will indeed fear your name because you are a great King, the Lord of hosts. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. (Clears throat) God sent his prophet Malachi to his people at a time when they were demoralized. And demoralized due to circumstances, due to unbelief in circumstances, and making excuses for not serving the Lord as they should. He sent his prophet Malachi to admonish and correct them on several matters, and the first that Malachi takes up, the first that the Lord directs him to take up in verses 6 through 14, is the matter of worship and the conduct of the priests in worship. Now, you may have noticed a kind of dialogue. The Lord speaks, he says, "You say," well, here's my answer, "but you say." It kind of runs through the passage. Now, it's not a real conversation. The Lord is putting words in their mouths. It's rhetorical. But what the Lord says, and what the Lord puts in their mouths as if they were saying it, is revealing what is in their hearts. It is revealing what is true about them, though they might not actually say those words. And it is revealing the Lord's response. And so as we listen to this, as we listen to the Lord's words, we should listen to them as if they were spoken to us, to you and me. And we should be asking, well, would God say this about me as I come to worship him today? And we should listen to the responses of the people, the responses that the Holy Spirit puts in their mouths, and ask, is this what's going on in my heart when I come to worship God? So first of all, what the priests must give to God. Because the passage is directed to the priests of Judah. But we should not think that, well, you know, we live now, they live then, we're not. No, you are priests. All of God's people, all believers in Jesus Christ, are now priests in Christ. So, this is spoken to us too. Now, in his law, God commanded his worshipers to bring sacrificial animals that were without any blemish. We read that from Leviticus 22. Couldn't be blind, couldn't have scabs, couldn't be lame. Had to be perfect animals, the very best of the flock. And for some sacrifices in particular, it had to be a firstborn male of the flock that was also without blemish. Why? Why? Well, first of all, because God deserves the best that we can give. That was true then. It's still true. God deserves the best that we can give when we come to worship him. He is, as he proclaims here, the great King of all the earth. And he is also the great lover and redeemer of his sinful and undeserving people. What does God deserve from us? What did God deserve from Judah? The very best we can give. And secondly, the reason for bringing animals that are unblemished is because those animals, in half of the sacrifices, half were thank offerings, the other half were sin offerings of various descriptions, those sin offerings had to be animals without blemish because they're offered to atone for sin. And that which is blemished, which is faulty, which is imperfect, cannot atone for sin. Now, of course, those animals themselves did not atone for sin. But they're a picture of Christ. But this was not what the people were bringing to God. The people were bringing to God the animals they didn't want. I don't want this lame animal. I don't want this sick animal. I don't want this scabby sheep. I'll give it to God. God through Malachi says, would you give that to your governor? What would he say? What would your Persian provincial governor say if you gave him tainted meat? If he looked out at the corral that has the animals that have been given in tribute to the Persian Empire, and he saw lame and scabby and oozing sores, he'd be pretty upset with you. He wouldn't accept that. So they were giving God third-rate animals that they would not have ever thought of giving to their Persian governor. And this is why the Lord was so displeased with the priests of Judah. Because the priests should be leading the people in worship that does please God and that does honor Him and that agrees with His word. But the priests could not be bothered to insist on that. It didn't matter to them whether the people brought their best to the Lord. And so the people didn't care. The priests didn't care. They're just going through the motions. Showing up, doing the thing, but not the way God wanted it to be done. And what's the root of all this? Their hearts were not in it. Their hearts weren't in it. Their actions in worship reveal that in their hearts, they didn't care whether God was honored or not. They must have even not thought that God would notice or do anything about it. They were becoming indifferent toward God. They were slipping into self-centered unbelief. And we can do that too, can't we? So they were giving God shoddy, second-rate worship because in their hearts, they did not want to do any better. They didn't care. God characterizes their attitude in verse 13. You say, what a weariness this is. You snort at it. It's not important. When's this going to be over? How long is this sermon going to... Oh. God's response to that attitude? Oh, well, I got to do this. Tiring though it is, God's attitude toward that is, I wish someone would shut the door to the temple and not let anybody bring any offerings like this. I will not accept your worship. I will not accept an offering from your hand. Not when you come with that attitude. Not until you repent of that attitude and call upon me to forgive your sin and change your heart, and you begin to worship because out of your heart you want to give thanks and express love to me for all my mercies to you. So, you know, for us right now, I think the question is, what is in your heart, what is in my heart when we come to worship? Will God accept the worship you bring? Will He accept you in bringing that worship? Well, there is good news, and that's point two. The good news is what our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, gave to God. All of those spotless animals, all those spotless lambs and bulls that God commanded and sometimes the people brought, they all pointed forward to the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist pointed to Him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one sacrifice that truly atones for and takes away the guilt of our sin. He is the Lamb who is truly spotless and undefiled. We read that. We read that from 1 Peter 1, verse 19. We have been redeemed not with silver or gold from the futile way of life we inherited from our forefathers, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus, the promised Messiah. The true and final priest came from the Father to offer to God the perfect and final acceptable sacrifice for sin. Himself offered in our place on the cross. And this is why it is so important for us to know, to see those passages in Scripture, there are many of them, that declare to us that Jesus Christ was without sin from the instant of his conception to the moment when he yielded his spirit to his Father on the cross. There was never a spot or a blemish on his soul or in his heart or in his thoughts. His only desire ever, always, was to obey and honor and serve and please his Father in heaven. And so he was able to offer himself for us on the cross as the Lamb without spot or blemish. That is very good news, because that's something we are not able to do. Now risen from the dead, our Lord Jesus continues as our great high priest, ever interceding for his redeemed people at the Father's right hand. And so we come, when we come to worship God, we come through Jesus Christ. We come, and Peter says, we heard this in our call to worship, that our worship, our spiritual offerings and sacrifices of praise to God are made acceptable through Jesus Christ. Well, then, point three, what we, who are priests in Christ, should be bringing to God in worship. Malachi foresaw our day. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi foresaw the proclamation of the gospel to people from all nations and to the ends of the earth. It began not just with the great commission given to the apostles, but began on the day of Pentecost, with the gospel proclaimed in the languages of all who were present. And from there, the apostles went to the surrounding nations, and the churches that came into existence through them have continued to preach the gospel to the world around. And so it has come even to us, at the ends of the earth. We are those of whom the Lord said, they are going to bring incense to my name, offer incense to my name, and a pure grain offering. Now, these are not sin offerings. We don't offer sin offerings. We've said this in several of these sermons before. We do not offer sin offerings. Christ did that. All that is needed in offering for sin, Christ offered, and nothing can be added to it. Once for all, he gave himself on the cross. These are thank offerings. And incense, I think, is part of the ceremonial worship of the Old Testament. Grain offerings, part of the ceremonial worship of the Old Testament. What do they answer to today? Well, the thank offerings that we bring. The offerings of prayer. Prayer lifted to God in the name of Jesus Christ, seeking God to answer our prayers in a way that will glorify him and bring blessing to his people. And praises, thanksgiving, worship. Those are our thank offerings in the gathered church. And as we said in the very first message in the series from Romans chapter 12, every day of our lives, we should look upon ourselves as living sacrifices to God and seek to be giving thanks to God in all that we do, in the way that we live, in the words that we speak day by day. So we don't bring animals. They pointed forward to Christ. He has come. that we bring thanks and praise and service in obedience to the word of the Lord. We make our duty a thankful service. I got the words not quite right, but the opening hymn, hymn 660. It's a duty, but we are thankful, should be thankful, to be able to offer this worship to God. How? Well, what runs through this passage? We know the negative. They were not bringing their best. Then what does God want from us? He wants us to bring to Him the best that we can to honor Him. The best from our hearts. Can we offer perfect worship to the Lord? Well, that should be our desire, that should be our aim, our goal. But you know that this side of heaven, nothing we do will not be tainted by sin to some extent. But as we say, as we have said, God makes worship that we bring acceptable through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If what? Well, we can't bring atoning sacrifices. We can't bring perfect sacrifices. But we can seek from our hearts to give thanks that is true thanksgiving. And for this we need preparation. You need to think about what you are doing and why you are doing it and to whom you are bringing it and why. From hearts that want to magnify and exalt and glorify God in His greatness, the greatness of His almighty power in creating the world in us, the greatness of His almighty power in guiding it in His providence, the greatness of His almighty grace in saving sinners through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you sing to God? You just mumble words? Or is it in your heart to really want God to hear you sing to Him? Now, maybe you've got a terrible voice and you know that it's embarrassing, so you don't want to sing too loud. I say, don't worry about that. God's not worried about it. But give your heart to God when you sing. And how do you join in the prayers? I confess to you already my many sins when I've sat where you are, of nodding off and going to sleep during the long prayer. Not good. Be engaged. Be praying with. How do you bring your tithes? With a glad heart? I'm so thankful that I can take what God has blessed me with and give it back to Him to be used to spread the gospel by which I've been saved. Do you tithe? How do you listen to the Word? With eagerness to learn, eagerness that the Holy Spirit would convict you where you may need to repent, would show you a path of obedience and give you strength to follow it, would show you Christ in His glory and give you more love for Him. How do you listen to the Word of God? Do you want to be instructed and seek to be instructed? Or is it all just weariness? How do you present yourself to God? I know God knows our hearts, but rhetorically speaking, would God know that you are coming into the presence of a great King when you come to worship? That you are coming to exalt His great name and to reflect His glory back to Him? Is that evident in your conduct in worship? And in the way you present yourself. Now, can we, imperfect sinners, offer our best and offer it sincerely? With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can. As our Lord said in John 4, God seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. According to His Word and in the power of His Holy Spirit. And only as we come through faith in Jesus Christ. So I think an important key here is, who is it all about? Whom do we worship? Not us. Not us. I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 14 of Malachi 1. He is our great and loving Father. 1 Peter 1:17. He is our great Savior and Lord. That's where our focus belongs in worship. Put your focus there and give Him your heart when you worship. And then both you and your worship will be pleasing and acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we have to confess to you because you know our hearts and our thoughts through and through, and nothing can be hidden from you, that we often do not give you our best in worship, that we often have our minds and hearts somewhere else, even when our body is here, and even when our lips are moving, singing hymns. We pray, O Lord, that we would, each one of us, more and more, realize what a great thing it is that the living God of heaven and earth, the mighty Redeemer of sinners, has a relationship with us, calls us into your presence, even to the threshold of heaven itself, and that we would prepare ourselves for worship by meditating on your greatness and your grace, our unworthiness and our need for your grace, and would more and more come into your presence aware that we are coming to the throne of the great King of heaven and earth, but a throne of grace. Help us, Lord, from our hearts and by our words and in our very conduct to give glory to you and bring you the best that we can in worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.